At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
An idea has just been born. No one has seen it yet. It's tiny, but with the potential to change everything. Every new idea is precious in this way, sometimes fragile or half-baked. Its worth might not be immediately obvious. To survive, we must protect their little sparks. There it goes. Good luck, little guy. So many ideas like this are never realized. They could have been so much more than a line in an email or a mumble on a video call. When ideas are explored on Miro, the visual collaboration whiteboard, they're seen by the whole team in real time. Thoughts come to life and grow through team collaboration. Miro is a space where all ideas are taken seriously. And seriously good ideas come together in unexpected ways. Join over 30 million people collaborating at Miro.com. M-I-R-O.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Uyghurs of East Turkestan, a people brutalized these last decades by the People's Republic of China. And part of the story is that brutality. The other part of the story is why it took so long for this fact to be established in the United States, in Europe, and around the world. I welcome a man who has been a great aid in getting the news out. He is a Uyghur. He was born in East Turkestan, a.k.a. Xinjiang. His name is Nuri Turkel. The new book is No Escape, The True Story of China's Genocide of the Uyghurs. Nuri's at the Hudson Institute. He's also vice chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Nuri, congratulations and good evening. I begin with the story that you tell of Abduvali Ayub. In 1998, a young scholarly man reading and writing in two languages, Mandarin, the Chinese language, and the also speaking Uyghur, the Uyghur language. And that gives him an advantage. And he's hired in Xinjiang, in the large city, by Zhu Hailan. Who is Zhu Hailan and what does Abduvali make of him in those days of late 20th century? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. If I may, I'd like to thank you and your team for giving me a platform in the last decade or so. I can't believe it's been that long since we've known each other. I don't know how many times I appeared on your show and allowing me to shine a spotlight early on, discussing some of the human rights abuses now turned into full swing genocide and crimes against humanity. I am profoundly grateful to you and your listeners for paying attention to this genocide, a modern day genocide, a tech genocide that is happening on World's Watch. Disturbingly, this genocide is in its sixth year. Zhu Hailan is a brutal individual who had a mission to destroy the Uyghur nation. He started with a very innocuous, harmless process of learning the Uyghur language, embedded in the Uyghur community, identifying strengths and weaknesses of the Uyghur people. And then he turned into someone that the Uyghur people feared of. He turned into something, a modern comparison, I would say, someone like Adolf Eichmann, who not only helped to enforce the brutal policies of the central government, the Communist Party, but also shaped the local environment, going after something as innocuous as the local culture, calling it feudal culture. So those of us who follow the politics, the events in Tibet have heard this term. Feudal means it's a slur. That means that you're backward, you're outdated, and your culture is inferior to that of the majority Han Chinese. So this man rightfully sanctioned by the United States government. One of the main characters in my book, Mr. Abdulie Ayub, a Uyghur scholar poet who studied in Kansas early on and decided to make made a fateful decision to return to the homeland to revive the Uyghur culture, Uyghur language. Before he do that, he did that. He was working for this brutal individual, Zhu Hailun, in the late 1990s. He was a young college graduate. He witnessed, he was the acting translator for this individual in Kashgar. And he even noticed something so odd with him, such as, you know, going around showing up with his a giant dog. Even his presence, his brutality, his mindset, his sadistic views, taking pleasure of torturing other people were not enough. He had this a big entourage driving around the city.
Let's tell the story, Nuri, that day that Abdulie witnesses the black Toyota Land Cruiser show up at a village that's been told to prepare for the visit of Zhu Hailun. And everybody cleans up everything they can to make it presentable, which is a false face, but they're intimidated for the bully boys. And one man who does not know about the arrival of Zhu Hailun comes up the road with his cart and his mule, I picture. What happens?
So he's like, this is very relevant to today's stories. As some of you listeners might be aware that UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has been planning to go to Uyghur homeland, East Turkestan. And they're doing exactly what Zhu Hailun was expecting the local people to do, cleaning up, getting everything in order, lining up, showing some rosy picture, essentially a Potemkin village. But his purpose was very, very specific. He wanted to carry out 2-month-long nightmare, nighttime house raid, search farmers for illicit books such as works on Uyghur history. And he also very brutal in a way that he was speaking the Mandarin, which is not a known way of communication to the local people. So Abdulie's job was to translate and then even including some of the ranting. And then he wants to make sure that the translation does not miss out any word that he spelled out. So this man is emblematic of what we're seeing today. Whenever some senior leadership from the Communist Party of Prachek, either from Beijing, either from Urumqi, shows up, they need to do a massive cleaning, create a very happy, prosperous environment to showcase. So this was not this something that the international community is seeing today. Journalists, some friendly governments from the Muslim majority countries, and now the UN official, top UN official, is in charge for human rights. We'll be seeing this kind of Potemkin village of setup.
The old man is beaten by the gangsters, and Abdulie is shocked. Soon afterwards, there's a meeting in which Abdulie presents a petition saying, "Your conduct is unacceptable. These people are being brutalized," and he's fired. 15 years later, Abdulie is in Xinjiang, our poet, teaching kindergartners how to speak the language, how to be artful and understand the language they were born with. He's arrested and thrown into a prison and beaten and sexually abused by the present-day guards and brutes who are dominating the picture in Kashgar and Urumqi. And one guard leans forward and says what to him, Nuri?
The one thing that the scenery is, I mean, it's hard to explain, describe the brutality of this man. One a common response before he was coming, there was actually a song which essentially goes along the lines of Zhu Hailun is coming. Old lady, fix your eyebrows with a mascara. Old man, throw away your cane. Kids, no breaks at school. Teachers, don't put your head scarf. Clean up your bathroom. Zhu Hailun is coming. That's how fearful that the local Uyghur people are. So this man essentially created this nightmarish environment. Even his presence with his German Shepherd is enough tools to scare the local people. I'm just laughing through tears that I can't imagine anyone, let alone a ordinary farmer, a villager, seeing this kind of environment. Abdulwali Ayub is a remarkable human being. When I interviewed him, he told me some of the things that he had witnessed in his interactions and working for this guy. See, you know, he cited something like when he was talking about the Uyghurs' spirituality. He uses such a offensive language to malign, slander, humiliate, dehumanize the Uyghur people who are defenseless. Abdulwali Ayub now lives in Norway. He's a political refugee. As someone who grew up in such a conservative environment myself, I cannot wrap my head around the idea that he was courageous enough to go public and tell all of the brutality, including sexual violence, that he experienced. And, you know, some of the things that he told me was so riveting that much of the things that he heard from Juhaylin during that period was so offensive that he just wanted to punch him.
Right.
But he had no choice but to translate those slurs, those offensive words to facilitate this guy's brutal engagements or actions in on the ground.
Abdulwali is tortured and eventually finds a way out. And we're glad for that. However, we're going to go back farther than 1998. We're going to go back to 1970, the year of Nuri Turkle's birth. The book is No Escape, The True Story of China's Genocide of the Uyghurs. I'm John Batchelor.
An idea has just been born. No one has seen it yet. It's tiny, but with the potential to change everything. Every new idea is precious in this way, sometimes fragile or half-baked. Its worth might not be immediately obvious. To survive, we must protect their little sparks. There it goes. Good luck, little guy. So many ideas like this are never realized. They could have been so much more than a line in an email or a mumble on a video call. When ideas are explored on Miro, the visual collaboration whiteboard, they're seen by the whole team in real time. Thoughts come to life and grow through team collaboration. Miro is a space where all ideas are taken seriously. And seriously good ideas come together in unexpected ways. Join over 30 million people collaborating at Miro.com. M-I-R-O.com.
It seemed like we never leave work.
We'll never meet this project deadline. There's too many moving parts from too many teams.
Then we realized we had Miro, our online whiteboard, our way out. Hey, David, where's the user research?
I see the Chicago team adding it to the Miro board right now.
Let's add a project timeline.
Miro has a template for that. Done. That was easy.
Nice. The Tokyo team's online. I'll get them to add the design sketches.
Ready to share the Miro board with the leadership team?
Let's go. That, my friend, is the sweet sound of another project in the bag.
Miro's visual online whiteboard gives your team the right tools, tech, and templates to share input and get feedback in real time, so you have fewer meetings and more time to get the job done. Get your first three boards free today at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.